Let's read a few verses from the beginning. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. Just leave the reading there. Let's bow our heads once again in prayer. Our Father, as we consider the word of God this evening, we pray for thy presence amongst us. And though we just take a short moment this evening to consider a portion of the verses here, Lord, we pray that thou wilt minister to us and help us, Lord, to take hold of those things that we might be blessed. Continue with us now, we pray thee, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Last time we were thinking about the command, the apostle's authority, the command, and the issue of the command, a joint issue from God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ our hope. And we touched upon those things, and I just want to return because Carol said to me afterwards, well, I hoped you had carried on and said something about the Lord Jesus Christ our hope. But it was like 9:30 by that time, so I'm sure everybody else was glad I didn't carry on. But I want to return to that just to consider the hope which is spoken of concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. So we looked at a couple of verses last time concerning hope, and those are found, first of all, in Jeremiah 14, verse 8, where the Lord is entitled, O the hope of Israel, O the hope of Israel, the Savior thereof in the time of trouble, why shouldest thou be as a stranger in the land and as a wayfaring man that turned aside to tarry for a night? And we thought about that verse for a moment and how apt that was for Jesus Christ, who indeed was as a wayfaring man as he came into this world. And he was someone who wasn't welcomed amongst the people. He came unto his own, we read in John's Gospel, but his own received him not. How sad that was. He was just like a wayfaring man passing through, and nobody gave him a place. And even as he was born, of course, and perhaps there are many things which focus on that very thought, really, the very fact that he was born and there was nowhere for him to lay his head. There was no room for them in the inn, that he was put out into a warm place, but nevertheless not a place made for humans, and was laid in a manger. It really underlines the fact that he was a wayfaring man, and he stayed for a time. And then, of course, he was actually kicked out, if you like, because he was put to death upon the cross of Calvary. And he was a man who tarried for a night. And it was a night, we could say also. Perhaps I could just take this verse on Sunday and preach on the verse. But it was a night, wasn't it? It was a time of darkness. And certainly there was a darkness in the hearts of God's people. In Jeremiah 17:13, we looked also, and it said, O Lord, the hope of Israel. And there we have an addition to those words in 14:8 is, O the hope of Israel. In Jeremiah 17:13, O Lord, or Jehovah, the hope of Israel. All that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. And of course we made mention of that also, the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ speaks about the words which come from him and the Spirit of God as being a fountain of living waters. Jeremiah, earlier on in the third chapter of Jeremiah, speaks about forsaking him and hewing them out cisterns, broken cisterns which can hold no water. You have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And that's exactly what the people had done. And then we saw also in Acts 28, and verse 20, just to remind you of these verses, it says, For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. And that's a kind of a dual thought there to that verse. And we made the point there that it could be that the Lord Jesus was the one who was being spoken of there, that for the hope of Israel, I am bound by this chain, and that the Apostle Paul actually was considering Jesus Christ to be the hope of Israel, which indeed he was, and picks up that thought here, where it says, and Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. But then also for the hope of Israel, because the Apostle Paul himself had a hope for Israel. If we turn to Romans chapter 9, and we see there how the apostle had a heart for his people. And he says in the first verses, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the law, that I have a great heaviness and continue will sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. And that word promise is very significant, isn't it? Because it is Jesus Christ, the hope of Israel. And why did they have a hope at all? Because of the promises. The promises belonged to them. The promises were given to them. The promises were given to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob and to the people who would spring from them. Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. So here, again, the apostle shows this desire for Israel. And then in the very next chapter, in Romans chapter 10, verse 1, we read, Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. So we can say that this verse in Acts has a dual thought. First of all, he is in chains for the hope of Israel because he is testifying of Christ. But then he is in chains for the hope of Israel because he has a hope for Israel, because he seeks to see them saved. He wants to see a mighty work done and souls brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. So here we have this thought of the hope of Israel. So I want to consider it just for a short time. The hope of Israel. If you turn with me to Ephesians in chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1, it's quite a complicated chapter. It takes a bit of thinking about as you read it. It speaks about the sovereignty of God. It speaks about the election of God. It speaks about the purpose of God. And really exalts God above all, because all things are according to his will and purpose. In the 12th verse, perhaps we'll read the 11th verse as well, he says, In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. The word first trusted is one word, Greek. It means before hoped. It uses that word, which is the hope, Jesus Christ, our hope. It uses that same word, but it adds another Greek prefix to it, which means before. So here, this is the beginning of the hope of those who trusted in Christ. Well, the reason the apostle is saying this is because he is speaking here particularly of the Jews. He is speaking of himself as a Jew, because remember how he writes the Romans and says to the Jew first and also to the Gentiles, or to the Greeks, to the Jew first and also to the Greeks, meaning also to the Gentiles. So here he is saying we are the ones who first trusted in Christ. They have come out from the midst of Israel, and the apostle in particular is speaking of himself and of the apostles who have gone, who first trusted in Christ or hoped in Christ, and they are preaching Christ. Now, the reason I say that is because the following verse says, In whom also that ye heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. In the second chapter, it speaks about the bringing together of the Jews and the Gentiles. So in chapter 2 and verse 11, Wherefore remember that ye, and see the difference here. So there's a kind of a dichotomy between the Jews and the Gentiles. Wherefore, remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant's promise, no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometime far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, in one you so making peace. Might reconcile both unto God in one cross, slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. So he is showing how the Gentiles are now one people. We are one people, but we are they who trusted in Christ. So the apostle says, we first trusted in Christ, preached the gospel to you, you heard the gospel, you received the gospel, it was the gospel of God, and you also trusted in Christ. Now going back to Romans once again, that ninth chapter, is chapter 9. Read in verse 6, after the, just immediately after the section we read. Not as though the word of God had taken effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Not because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Is they the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. So here the apostle is saying that Israel, those who are saved in Christ. In fact, I would suggest that what the apostle sees as Israel is actually Jesus Christ himself. He is the promised one. And we've seen in our studies in Abraham how the promise was not just to Abraham, but it was to Abraham and his seed. And how Galatians, apostle Paul says, and to his seed, he saith not seeds as of many, but seed, which is one, which is Christ. So this was to the seed. We are all Jews and Gentiles into the family of God, into the household of God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, faith. So the hope of Israel, the hope of Israel is Christ, but the hope of Israel is also to all of us to have faith and to have hope in Christ. So we begin with the hope of, we go on to the hope of identity, the hope of identity, the hope which identifies ourselves with Christ as we try. There is an identity actually there because we are called by his name. We are called Christians. And why are we Christians? Because we are trusting in Christ. We have put our faith in Christ. We are looking to Christ for our salvation. Our hope is in Christ. And if you look in 1 John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons or the children of God. Therefore the world knoweth not us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the children. I use the word children because the word is technon. It's not the word huios, which is a son, but it's the word technon, which is children. So, behold, now are we the children of God, and it doth yet what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. He that hath this hope in him, hope in Christ, trusting in Christ, looking for that day when the Lord shall return. We'll see that in just a moment. But first of all, we are identified with him. And if we are identified with him, and if we are accepting him for this cleansing and for the forgiveness of sins, then if we have that hope in us, then we purify ourselves even as he is pure. We are identifying ourselves with Christ, that we might be made conformable to the image of Jesus Christ. We are seeking that holiness, that righteousness, which identifies Christ and therefore identifies us also in Christ. So the hope that is in us, he that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. A hope in Christ. Well, what is this hope? Well, again, going back to Romans, this time to chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Again, we are thinking about the hope. Hope is something which is set before us. And it's an expectation, as we've often said. It's not just simply a, well, I hope it happens. But it's an expectation that it will happen. And in Romans chapter 8, again, a similar context of the word is used. We look at verse 18, and these are quite long sections of scripture that I'm reading, but the Apostle Paul explains himself. So by reading what he says, that is hopefully, as long as we can, that's in the ordinary sense of the word hope, hopefully we can understand what he is saying here. So verse 18 and onwards, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." So he's speaking about the glory of heaven. He's talking about the glory of the new creation, when we are transformed, when sin is done with and our bodies are transformed into what they will be. And he says, "For the earnest expectation of the creature," that is the creation, "waiteth for the manifestation," or the revelation, "of the sons of God." So the sons of God will be revealed to all. Everyone will know who they are. At the moment, we have profession. We have those who say they are the children of God. But in that day, there will be those who are Christ, will be very clear. "For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." Now this patience, this waiting for it, Israel was doing that, wasn't it, before the Lord Jesus Christ came. We know that Simeon, for instance, in the temple, was waiting for the coming of Christ. And he had the promise from God that he would see the salvation of Israel before he met his death. And we also are hoping. And much of what the scripture speaks about hope, or what the apostle Paul in particular speaks about hope, he refers back to the fact that the Jews hoped that those things came to pass because Christ came. Now we are hoping those things will also come to Christ to pass. Because if God can do what he said to Israel and bring Jesus Christ to the world to deliver us and to deliver us and fulfill all of those scriptures, the promises which are ours are also yea and amen in Christ Jesus. We have a hope of identity. We are trusting in Christ. A hope that a man sees is not a hope. But we are hoping for something which is promised to us. Our hope is in the promise of God. The promised seed has come. The promised seed, or the promised Savior, will come again. We are waiting for that day. So what is hope then? Hope is synonymous with faith in that case, isn't it? We are trusting, we are waiting to see the revelation of Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report." Faith is the substance or the ground or the confidence of things hoped for, the evidence not seen, or the conviction of things not seen. So faith, that is what we have. And isn't that our identity? That we believe in Jesus Christ. That's another identity we have, isn't it? We are called Christians. We are identified with Christ. We're also called believers. We are called believers because we have faith in Christ. We have faith in the promises. We have a hope of those things which are to come, things which we have not yet seen. But then if we saw them, it wouldn't be hope, as the apostle says in Romans 8. So all of these things then are revealed to us that we might know that the Lord Jesus Christ will come and we will be swallowed up in that victory at the day of Christ. Finally then, the hope of Israel, the hope of identity, and the hope of immortality. The hope of immortality. We are looking for the coming of Christ unto salvation. And where is that hope? Well, the hope surely is in the resurrection of Christ. That has been set before us. The fact that Christ did not stay dead is our hope that we also will not stay dead. That when we die, we are waiting for that day when we will be raised again. We just turn to Acts 2, one last long reading, and we're Acts chapter 2 and verse 25. In fact, we're in verse 24. Speaking of Christ, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known ways of life, thy countenance. Let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, wherefore we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. So, Lord Jesus Christ is that one who is raised from the dead, and our hope is in him. The fact that Christ is raised from the dead gives us hope that we also shall be raised from the dead by faith in him. And that prophecy of David, and it's an interesting place for you to remember, is also because it is the place where we have the testimony that David was a prophet. And sometimes we don't think of David as being a prophet. We think of him as being a king. We don't think about him being a prophet. But he was a prophet also, as the apostle says here. But he prophesies of what Jesus Christ would do. But then David also is writing and he is speaking for himself, isn't he? It's a double thing here. He is speaking of himself. He says, my soul shall rest, or my flesh shall rest in hope. So although that speaks of Christ, yet it also speaks of David. He is trusting in Christ, who will raise him also from the dead. And he knows that Christ will be raised first. So we see this wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our hope. And we certainly rest in the hope of Christ Jesus in all that he has done for us, both in the cleansing of us of our sin and in the resurrection which is yet to come. Let's close our eyes again, once again in prayer. Our Father, we thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. And Lord, we pray that thou wouldst help us to maintain and to strengthen our faith and our hope in Christ by the reading of thy word, by prayer, Lord, by knowing the manifestation of Christ to us as we seek to live for thee and glorify thy name, by thy making thy abode with us, Lord, in all of these things we pray that we might be strengthened against that day when the Lord Jesus Christ shall return in glory and shall set that kingdom which we are already a part of, but shall set it visibly in the new heaven and the new earth. Lord, what a day that shall be. We pray, our Father, that thou wouldst bless our hearts and help us to look up with expectation, with knowledge that Jesus Christ hath done all things well and will fulfill all things that are spoken of him. We ask these things for Jesus' sake. Amen.